You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
Welcome back to The Griot Daily, the only podcast that knows the fastest sound in the world is pew. My name is Michael Harriet. I'm your favorite white peepologist. I'm here every day to tell you what's going on in the village. And today, we're going to talk about what's going on in white America. Specifically, what's up with this?
If the only people with guns are the jackbooted thugs, then liberty is gone.
I believe that more guns on the streets do reduce crime.
Actually, for you, Mr. Gore, from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah, white people love guns. I haven't looked it up, but I think that firearms might be white people's season saw because they put it in everything. The Constitution, politics, even their music. And if you think hip-hop is filled with sex and violence, try listening to Kenny Rogers' Coward of the County. Because, I mean, bruh, that's about sex, guns, and I don't know. I'm Michael Harriet, world-famous white peepologist, and this is The Griot Daily. Today, we're going to try to figure out why white people like guns so much and what's America's preoccupation with guns, right? Because half of white households own a gun. And that's a lot, right? And when you compare it to one in three black households that own a gun, it's really a lot. Although the black gun ownership has been increasing since the pandemic, I think, you know, we're preparing for the, no, not the race war. We're preparing for the, you know, the zombie apocalypse, which is probably just white people, you know, coming back from the dead to bite us in the neck. Anyway, to understand why white people like guns so much, we got to go back to the beginning. Specifically, the beginning of America, when we were trying to write the Constitution, this thing called the Constitution, right? So when we were trying to ratify the Constitution, this dude named James Madison, they call him the father of the Constitution, so I guess he slept with the Magna Carta. Anyway, James Madison was the dude who was primarily responsible for writing the Constitution. After he wrote it, he had to go around and get all the other states to sign it, or what we call to ratify it. So when it came to Virginia, Virginia had this big ratifying convention, and all of the people who we now know as founding fathers were there. Washington was there, like, you know, all the people from Virginia, Jefferson, all the people. Jefferson was in Paris, you know, engaging in sexual assault with his enslaved girls. But the rest of them were there, right? So James Madison takes the Constitution to Virginia, right? And immediately, this dude named George Mason, who was one of the greatest slave owners in Virginia, he was upset, right? Now, people will tell you that he was upset because of slaves and slave uprisings, but that's not really what he was upset about. He was upset about the National Army, right? Because, you know, before then, we had militias. So Mason said, man, look, if we have this, like, big, huge National Army, well, most of the people live in the North, right? And what if they just want to abolish slavery and tell their slaves to come take our guns? So we got to do something to prevent that, because, like, we could lose all of our property. All of our wealth is basically tied up in slaves. So George Mason said, like, look, I'm not going to sign this thing unless we got something to protect us from against the licentious slaves who were coming to take our property, right? So James Madison went back and he jotted down these 10 things, right, that we now call the Bill of Rights. And the second one was just because of George Mason. Matter of fact, it was almost word for word something that Mason had put in Virginia's Constitution. And now we call it the Second Amendment, right? And that is what created America's fascinations with guns. And since then, America has been really adamant about gun ownership, and most of it has been tied to the fear of black people, right? So even before George Mason and Madison came together to create the Second Amendment, they had these slave codes. In every state, the slave code said slaves could not own weapons. That was one of the primary duties of the slave patrols, to come in and make sure that the slaves didn't own guns, right? They were specifically designated as people who took guns from slaves, right? And after the Civil War, it didn't get any better, right? Like, they didn't have slave codes anymore because there wasn't any slaves. So this group took it upon themselves to just go around and disarm the slaves, right? You know, they weren't slave patrollers anymore, so they gave themselves their own name. They called themselves Ku Klux Adelphine. And, you know, that translates to Circle of Brothers, but then everybody started calling them by their nickname, the Ku Klux Klan, right? They were specifically formulated to disarm slaves. And that was America's first form of gun control. And after that, right, gun control became a thing, right? The fear of Black people and Black uprisings was key to understanding America's fascination with guns. And it wasn't that Black people didn't own guns, right? Ida B. Wells, she said, and I quote, "A Winchester rifle should have a place of honor in every Black person's home." W.E.B. Du Bois said, you know, Black people should own guns. And a lot of the violence during Reconstruction was about Black people owning guns, right? Like, when you look at, for instance, this crazy thing that happened in the Greenwood section of Tulsa, that started when a Black man who was a veteran shot his gun in the air, right? So you have to understand this violence, this fear, this inane fascination with guns is closely related to the fear of a Black nation. I think Public Enemy said that one time. And then there was one of my favorite Black gun advocates. His name was Robert F. Williams. Now, Robert F. Williams, he was from North Carolina, and you know, you probably have heard about his guns, his book, Negroes with Guns, that he wrote, because he was a veteran, he was a Marine, and he was a staunch advocate for armed self-defense. And Robert F. Williams would do stuff like one time he had this shootout with the KKK. Like, the KKK in Monroe, North Carolina, which is right outside of Charlotte, they would terrorize Black people. Well, Robert F. Williams was like, nah, not anymore. When he came home, he put barricades and sandbags around the NAACP leader's house. And when the KKK got this permit to literally go around and fire at Black people's homes, his people was there behind those sandbags, and they fired back, right? And Robert F. Williams was one of the most noted advocates for Black gun ownership. And people who, like, even Martin Luther King respected him. Martin Luther King wrote a foreword to Negroes with Guns because he said, like, I don't understand why Robert F. Williams likes guns so much, but I respect him, right? Like, when we think of the nonviolent civil rights movement, we can't forget, one, that it was not really nonviolent. Like, the white people committed a lot of violence. Ask Medgar Evers, ask Martin Luther King, ask all the people that marched for civil rights. But one of the things that we forget is when white people weren't violent, it was because of people like Robert F. Williams and the Deacons for Defense who were protecting those marches, right? It was people like in Birmingham, Alabama, when the Freedom Riders came through Birmingham, Alabama, you know, the county commissioner, the police commissioner for the city of Birmingham, he had made this deal with the KKK, like he was going to give them 15 minutes along with the Freedom Riders. And they were just waiting for the Freedom Riders. And they had bricks and bats. But when they attacked them in Anniston, the people in Anniston, they called this dude from Birmingham. And they said, hey, they out here doing this junk again. And so these riders, these Black men, came from Birmingham, Alabama, and they brought their guns and they protected them. So we forget that armed self-defense was always a part of the civil rights movement, and we can call it nonviolent, but we were always adamant about protecting ourselves. And so this was part of the fear that drove white people to owning guns. And that's why it's so prevalent in the South, right? Like in Lowndes County, Alabama, right? When the people came there to register, like Lowndes County was 80% Black, right? But they had less than 10% Black voter registration. And so when the group of civil rights activists came there to register people to vote, one of their leaders, Stokely Carmichael, noticed that all the black people there carried guns because they called it Bloody Loudoun County because they had lynched so many people. And Stokely Carmichael took that as a signal, like armed self-defense is really, really, it works, right? It's really prevalent in the South.
If you like today's episode, make sure you listen for part two this Wednesday.
Thank you for listening to The Griot Daily. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, download The Griot app, subscribe to the show, and share it with everyone you know. Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcasts@thegriot.com.
You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
You're watching the Blackest Questions podcast with Christina Greer.
In this podcast, we ask our guests 5 of the blackest questions so we can learn a little bit more about them and have some fun while we're doing it.
Okay, so this is a trick question.
We're also going to learn a lot about black history, past and present.
Beautiful. I learned a wonderful fact today. Great.
So here's how it works. We have 5 rounds of questions about us, black history, the whole diaspora, current events, you name it. With each round, the questions get a little tougher.
Oh, you got me, you got me. Let me see.
I have no idea.
I knew you were going to go there, Dr. Greer.
Subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast and share it with everyone you know.